Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 568 of the Drunk Testers Podcast. I'm your host, as always, I'm Tyler. And joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What is up, buddy?
Dude, I'm feeling so good right now. I've been chipping away at Tears of the Kingdom over the past week. Also, I have been playing little things off and on the Switch and stuff while I'm going through and finishing up work days, watching Twitch, doing whatever. But at the same time, I'm just happy. A couple of days off in a row. Apparently, I'm supposed to be having some rain happening in my area tomorrow and stuff. So it's going to open up some possibilities. Yeah. But at the same point, though, wrestling was fun tonight. But SummerSlam happened. Especially that ending to the main event happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, it's definitely a good night. It's just a burn off some steam. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Tyler?
You know, clanging and banging. You know what, Gables? No, I'm not clanging and banging. I got a bone to pick with you, you son of a bitch.
Okay, what did I do?
Raggedy bitch.
Uh-huh.
Like 6 weeks ago, you told me that I'm in my mid-30s now.
Yeah.
And I can't let it go. I just remember randomly throughout the day, at least three times a day, that you said it to me. And not that you said it to me, the fact that it's true, and it still hurts. And I'm not over it yet. And I don't know if I'll ever recover from this one. Like, I've recalled a lot of mean things in my life. And a lot of those things, you know, the truth hurts a lot. And Gables, this is probably the meanest thing anybody's ever said to me. And I'm not even kidding. So.
Oh my gosh, dude.
But, yeah. I don't know. It's a little better now, Gables, because we got some good news here. Samuel Adams. Oktoberfest is back. It's the most wonderful time of the year otherwise. It's going to come up to my favorite time of the year, fall. It's like the 6 weeks out of the year doesn't suck to live in Iowa where it's not freezing or boiling hot. So, and then, you know, I could pull out the pumpkin spice candles and light those. It just smells like pumpkin everywhere. And then you've got football and I get to wear like a hoodie. And it's just so comfortable, you know? It feels so good. You know, wear some jeans and a hoodie. Oh, my God. It's the best. Gables, it's the best. I'm excited for that. And so, except for, like, you know, 3 weeks later when it's fucking 10 feet of snow and negative 20 outside. But that 6 weeks is fantastic. Those six weeks, I will forget about the time Gables told me I was in my mid-30s. But until then, a little part of me is going to hate you. And then when it gets really cold out, then I'm going to go back to probably hating even more because it's going to be cold and I'm going to be miserable. So, we'll see how it goes. So I'm going to take it one day at a time. That's all I can do. But this is Drunk Testers Podcast. Every week, Gibbles and I get together and talk about video games and everything going on in that world. If you like all this, you enjoy the show, please like, follow, subscribe on YouTube. Wherever pods are cast, we are on those. Just search for us. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, Twitch, we're on everything. So like, follow, subscribe. There are descriptions and there are links down below that you can just click on and take you right to those pages. And you can just do it right over there. But yeah, leave a comment. 5 stars. Likes, shares, tell your friends, all that. Really enjoy if you do that for us. But Gables, let's get on with the show, buddy.
Alrighty.
Pretty big week, Gables. It's going to be a Nintendo-heavy week. So, start off, Gables. We got some big news. I believe on Monday it dropped. That developers are getting the hardware for the next Switch. We're going to call it the Switch 2 just for ease of use here. But some stuff, this is from Andy Robinson, originally reported this, who, pretty prominent leaker. He's been pretty good in the past. Literally just last week, he broke the news about the Immortal sequel being canceled, and then you know, Ubisoft did confirm that. He broke the news on Metal Gear Solid 3 remake years ago. He actually brought up this week that he was one that broke the news about the Wii U. Back then we were calling it the Wii 2. He broke the news that the next Wii console would have the touchpad. So you know he's been pretty good about these leaks and everything in the past and this reporting in the past. But some stuff information we have here. This is stuff that he's from people like obviously all this stuff is subject to change. But some of the stuff that he's been hearing from people. And he did actually spend, he's been spending a lot of time, I follow him on Twitter, so he's been spending a lot of time recently in Japan, and there was a big event going on there called Bit Summit, I believe, and who's there for a couple weeks, and that's like a lot of developers. It's kind of like a GDC type of thing for, but in Japan, like a smaller Tokyo Game Show type of thing. And sounds like that's kind of where a lot of this, he got a lot of this information from. But it sounds like in the last few weeks that more developers out there are getting their hands on this device or whatever it can be, whatever you like, Switch 2, whatever you want to call it. But anyways, sounds like right now they're planning on it right now to come out in the second half of 2024. Basically, for the idea is they want to make sure they have plenty of stock built up for when the hardware does come out, that they're not like facing shortages, kind of like, you know, the early days of the Switch, like where I feel like I think a lot of they were probably like, I think there was only 3 million worldwide at launch. But I think part of that too was they're a little gun shy coming off the Wii U, want to make sure it was be successful. And then obviously everything has gone on the last 2 years with the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles, where I mean you couldn't get one really for really like I guess probably in the last year it's gotten better, but especially in the last like 6 months, you pretty much if you want one, you got one.
So like 2.5 years later after launch.
Yeah. But that was more of a obviously that was more of the COVID and then just chip shortages, stuff like that going on than anything else. But they want to make sure that they have plenty of stock for the next thing. So the company here seems pretty confident in their next device. Sounds like it will be, it's going to be another Switch. It's going to be a handheld and a home console. Some of the stuff that's is out right now, of course, he said, obviously things can change here. Like they make, this happens a lot with these consoles, these early consoles, is there are minor changes to them. Like what they could be, like the original Wii U touchpad was an HD screen, and then eventually that didn't end up not being HD. But he says right now it's an 8-inch LCD screen. It's gonna be LCD instead of OLED to keep costs down. And he didn't report this, but Nate the Hate reported this, that right now they're planning on putting about 512 gigabytes of storage in it, which I believe is about kind of what they were in the previous console generation. I believe the Xbox Series S is what that has as well. And that's kind of like the max it will have. It could go down from there, but that's kind of what they're looking at right now. It still has a cartridge slot in it, but currently he's been hearing mixed things from people about whether or not it will have backwards compatibility. So that's something maybe we should all be a little concerned about maybe. Some people are saying that it's comparable to a PS4 Pro, which is pretty impressive. I don't think it's got 4K or anything like a PS4 Pro did, but so that's kind of what we're hearing there. And apparently it could be announced as soon as either Gamescom at the end of the month or Tokyo Game Show in September. So that sounds like they are wanting to announce this thing before the end of the year. Gables, you got a shitty and green on your face. What are you thinking, buddy?
Well, there's a couple things I could think about. One, Andy Robinson's been on the ball in regards to the various leaks that he's done over the past quite a number of years now. But at the same time, the one consistent thing is he is generally in the right direction when he goes through and does these supposed leaks and stuff. I mean, the Wii U is a good example. I mean, the MGS3 remake is another one. This one's interesting because what that tells me is, one, they're not going to go forth and invest instead of an OLED screen for this device from the launch. I mean, granted, it's a smart idea because if you want to put out a console or like a handheld hybrid in this case, you're going to want some materials that are not going to be just cheap, but like for development things, but you want something that's going to be something that people are going to like at least want to use without it being like in turn, like, you know, without it costing an arm and a leg and stuff right off the gate.
And that's kind of like the Steam Deck. And I think was it the Rogue Ally, the new handheld out there? And like phones and a lot of devices use LCD right now anyways. So,
well, yeah, it's a standard thing. I mean, it's not a surprise to me that they're choosing to go with that route. As far as the storage stuff from what Nathan Haight has been going through and talking about, I mean, did you say right here 512
and he's
gigabytes?
Been probably one of the best Nintendo leakers in a while, so. And if you got to think, if like this thing is gonna be more powerful, closer to a PS4 Pro, these games are gonna be 30 to 50 gigabytes, you know, in storage. I know the first party stuff that won't be probably crazy big. They do a pretty good job keeping storage size down, but we already see big games already out there. Go ahead.
So to clarify to me, this is like the
yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is true. So you can. assuming here you can still buy an SD card of some sort to put in there. But like, you know, internally, I think like the Switch right now is a 32 gigabyte.
Yeah, it's 32 gigabyte internal, but you have the option to invest as high up as a terabyte in terms of the SD card.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens there.
For it to have that type of storage, though, you got to admit that it has to be something a bit more substantial in terms of hardware that they're going to want to try to do. So in that case in mind, that's what I'm kind of interested in seeing if this is actually going to be the case. Because for Nintendo, generally, we've known them traditionally as being kind of behind the ball in certain aspects of it. I mean, the memory stuff of the Switch, the Eternal one, that's one thing and stuff like that. But just to go to jump up to as far as, say, like a 500 gigabyte kind of internal stuff. I mean, that's something really to see to believe in that regards.
Well, he said like this is like the max it could be, is what he's saying. This isn't like confirmed. Okay. He said like that's kind of like the ceiling they're thinking. But I mean, we're in the day and age right now with games where it's like, I mean, when the Switch came out with 32 gigabytes, we all thought that was insanely low. When the PS4 was launching with 500, you know, in 2013, so. And now we're seeing games, you know, 100 plus gigabytes on the regular now on these new consoles. So, and like I said, we're not expecting, you know, top tier graphics. We're not expecting, you know, I'm not expecting even, you know, there's kind of the idea right now is it's PS4 Pro on scale powerful, but we're not expecting Last of Us Part 2 looking games on the Nintendo console here.
No, if it's going to be something remotely in the aspect of trying to present itself kind of similar to like a 4K experience or a frame rate experience, it's going to be something experimental that we probably haven't seen truly before this type of product comes out. But at the same point, another thing I want to try to nail down right here is that backwards compatibility. I do firmly believe that there is going to be backwards compatibility in some form, but I am still thinking along the lines is this going to be digital only type of backwards compatibility? Is it going to be a mix between the physical and digital? That still hasn't been really remained. That had really none of that has been ruled.
I don't think that's going to be a thing we know until they announce it for sure. And obviously all this could just have a cartridge slot in there. That's just like, you know, in place of whatever it is, or it could be like, maybe they're slightly different, but the other one fits in it. Kind of like we've seen in the past with like the Game Boy Advance and stuff with the Game Boy Color and Game Boy games still working on it. Like, yeah, it's a different cartridge, but you can still put the other ones in it. We might have some internet connections here, people. We got a bad storm going on right now in my area. So just a heads up on that. But go ahead, Gables. I'm sorry.
But like I was saying, though, if that's the case, you know, it's like I probably would think that it's going to be both probably a physical and a digital type of backwards compatibility. Because at that point, if you're a company, you don't want to try to risk isolating, like, say, your consumer base by automatically say, hey, most of your games are not even going to be playable physical form on our new device, you know, even if they have good solid amounts of digital stuff. But at the same time, from rumors I've been hearing about in terms of that, there are some companies that don't want to go forth and have like this new device having backwards compatibility because they want to potentially resell the same games to consumers again, only like in a much like remastered sort of like, not either a remaster, but like a refurbished sort of like future ports or something.
Well, and Nintendo themselves, like they've made a very big business for themselves by doing that.
They're one of the first companies.
Is probably like, of all the companies that resell those old games, Nintendo is probably the number one company in doing it. Like, we just look at the NES stuff, like, they're reselling it to us now with the subscription.
Oh, not just the NES stuff. I mean, they could do it. They've done this as far back as the Super Nintendo era, like rehashing the Mario Brother games.
That's just what I mean, though. Is like, I mean, everybody does it. Like, we see these ports and, you know, stuff like that, but like reselling it at full price or $10 upgrades, stuff like that. Nintendo is like obviously the worst at this than anybody. Look at the Switch library is just like riddled with like, you know, that. The Wii U games, like the ton of great Wii U games that were just no one ever played or very few people played because it was on the Wii U. I'm not talking shit. Like, I'm happy those games, people have an audience for those games. But I think it does. Yeah. Like, you hear about that as like, that's concerned because people were like, you know, companies are worried about like people, you know, cause like you could put like a 1-2 Switch selling over 1 million copies. because it was a Wii U, it was a Switch launch game, and there was like four or five games that launched on the Switch, and people were just desperate to buy fucking, you know, games for their new thing. And then, like, that's true for everybody. Like, whenever when you buy a new thing, you want something to play on it, and you buy things that you know, like,
absolutely.
Even when the PS5 with the backwards compatibility, when that thing came out, I bought Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I bought fucking Sackboy's Big Adventure. There's a couple of games I bought launch too that I did. I bought an extra PS5 controller that I've used like three times. That's just sitting over there. like, I just, because you buy a new thing, you want shit for it. And that's true. But like, I think part people are using that as an example, but I would argue that a couple of things go against that argument, where A, it was during pandemic, games were getting delayed left and right, and everybody was saying, you should probably delay the console because games maybe aren't ready for it. And it wasn't the greatest launch. I mean, Spider-Man Morales, fucking awesome. One of the best games of the year. I think, honestly, it's probably better than the original Spider-Man game. Although, Spider-Man 2018, I think it's better than that. And you had Demon's Souls as well, the remake of that. But that's a remake. It's the remake of probably the least popular Souls-like game since From Software started making Souls-like games. And it wasn't made by them either. So, and I don't even remember what Xbox had at launch, honestly, which says a lot about that. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I disagree with that statement from, like, these companies saying, like, they're worried about, like, yeah, it might hurt a little bit, but it's like, it's just, but the problem is, like, most of the games they're probably worried about that are not buying is, like, it's the bullshit stuff they just throw in the new console because they know people are excited to buy it. So it's like, that's shit they're worried about, like, those initial games, but. I don't know, people still want to play those, you know, those new games when they come out if they're good and they're quality. We're not going to buy everybody's 1-2 Switch 2 or 3. What the fuck is going to be called? I don't know. No one's 1-2 Switch. That's what the third game should be called. Maybe actually the second game should be called No One's 1-2 Switch. But yeah, I don't know. I hope it does. Like, I agree that we're in a day and age where, like, it's expected, it's required, but if anybody of the big three was to do something stupid like this and just like, well, you're going to buy it anyway, so why do we care? It's Nintendo. And you know what? They're going to get away with it. If they decided to resell us, we talked about last week with the future of Smash, and you mentioned the Smash Ultimate Deluxe, and it's like, they can easily put out a new new cartridge of Smash Ultimate with all the DLC and everything on it for $70, and people will buy it. They could put out Mario Deluxe, and people will fucking buy it again for $70 with all the DLC and stuff on it. Like, people will do it. I don't know. What's your feelings though about them possibly announcing it though in the next couple months here?
All right, I do not think that it's going to be at Gamescom. I know they are going to be there, but I'm not sure if they're going to make a console announcement.
You were the one pushing. I want to point out that's a few months ago when we talked about the Seattle thing. You were the one saying that they'll do it there. I want to point this out. This is a major 180 from you.
Well, that's just the thing, though. That's just the thing. I don't know if they're going to announce it at the conference, but at the same time, you know, if it's during that same time frame, they're known to do their own thing separate from their events. But at the same point, you know, it's like, what do we got here? We got the Tokyo Game Show in September, and then all of a sudden we have the friggin', like, Gamescom going on, like this
August
month?
23rd to the 27th, I believe, which is in Europe.
I can just see them doing something in terms of like the Tokyo Game Show.
That's their territory. So yeah,
that's their territory. I mean, it's something that they can go through and present inside of that way, and it's still inside that September period.
Yeah, well, and I think part is just they weren't saying it could be a Gamescom, but it sounds like they wanted to say something at one of these events, and those are one of the two that could happen at. I don't know if I 100% believe Gamescom would be the place to do it, because you have the Seattle event going on, the Seattle, what I can't remember what it's called, like the next week. And it'd be kind of weird,
yes,
like, because I don't think we're actually going to see it. I think those announced, I think it'd be like kind of like a, kind of what Xbox has done in the past, where they announced like the Scorpio, which was the Xbox One X before, like a year before. They just kind of like talked about it. We didn't see it. Or like, even with like the Series S and X the year before, they talked about it. And they kind of give you like the 12 teraflops kind of thing. Like, I think they'll talk about it. They'll announce they're making it. But I don't know if we'll see it, because they probably don't know what the thing's going to look like. I mean, we've seen like I mean, this probably they probably don't. They might have a general idea, but I don't think you know they're ready to like show it off yet. Like, I mean, fuck, we saw like at the
Right.
E3 when they announced the Wii U, that the console they showed at the E3 was different than the console we got at launch. You look at the touchpad, and you look at
Yes.
what we got at launch is different. So we've seen that was only like 5 months later. So I think they might announce it. Maybe they get some general ideas of what it's going to be. Maybe they get some information on it. But I don't. Yeah, I don't think it's. I don't think we'll see it this year. I'm kind of shocked because I felt really, I really believe that they wouldn't announce it before Christmas, especially if they want to hit that sales number they're going for of I think 17 million this year, this fiscal year. That could put a different. That could be really tough for them to hit if they're gonna. If you know.
Unless they do a price drop.
I don't think they're gonna have one, man. Like they did a price increase. And the
I
difference in
know
the
they have.
past is price drops happen because it gets cheaper to make these consoles. And the price to making these consoles, the price of development of making these consoles hasn't really gone down that much. And we've seen over
No,
the course
not
of gen
really.
like the PS4 never got a price drop. Like the I mean we got the Slim, which that dropped $200. That dropped down to $300, but then they
Yes.
replaced it with the Pro for 400. So if
Yep.
anything, maybe like they drop the OLED down $50, and then they make like they like fade out the base Switch model and just the maybe $300 for the Switch OLED and then 200 for the Lite.
Which I may add that they have made attempts to try to alleviate it, try to eliminate the original
Yeah, I mean
Switch
we
model, which
we'll
they're
talk about
doing
the
right
they
now.
sent a financial report this week too. So we'll talk about that later. That yeah, like the Switch numbers, sales numbers. It's like. It's pretty bad. It's pretty crazy the numbers of like how the OLED's doing compared to the rest. Yeah, a couple other things though that was kind of going on here, Gables, is so this is kind of this isn't really has to do with this. I just heard this from Andy Robinson mentioned this elsewhere that you know Super Mario Wonder is not being made by the 2D Mario team. It's being made by it's people part of the team, but it's a younger crew of people that made this game. So this isn't the main team working on it. So that's interesting. Also, the idea is the new Switch will launch with a 3D Mario game, which makes sense. We haven't
That's
seen
interesting.
we keep talking. I think we've talked about this a lot over the years, like just out of like just discussion, not like based off any knowledge. Like we haven't had a 3D Mario game since Odyssey, which was November 2017. I know they did Bowser Fury, which was like it seems like a project that didn't really turn anything, so they just kind of spun it off into a tie-in to the Mario 3D world, or maybe it's like a teaser for what the next game could be. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, like I don't know. I mean, I think you look at the Switch. I think one of the biggest successes it had for it, more so than anything, this thing I've been talking about for years now about consoles launch. It's not what you have at launch. Obviously, you want to have something big there. But it's like, what do you have in that
Yes.
window? What am I playing, you know, over the next 6 months? What am I playing a year from now? That's kind of shit we want to see. And I don't think any console's done it better than the Switch, where we looked at it, where we launched with Mario, or not with Mario, with Zelda, Breath of the Wild, one of the greatest games of all time. That helps. Also helps that, I mean, basically they stopped working on the Wii U like 2 years before the Switch came out. So you just basically built up a bunch of games to like put out like so they had 2 years prepare. So it's kind of interesting that we're going in the generation where we're not gonna see a Zelda game for a long time. So that's interesting.
Right.
And there's you know Pikmin just came out. A lot of games are coming out here at the end of this thing. But anyways, back to my point is with the with that launch, it's like we haven't actually had a full Mario Kart game in a de almost a decade now. 2014. May 2014.
Yes.
So
We've been pretty much playing the same Mario Kart off and on
yeah,
since the
I
Wii
mean, so
U.
we got some DLC to kind of hold us.
A lot of
Yeah,
DLC
but we
maps.
had like 9 years between finally getting more DLC. So we have that. You know, if there's another 2D Mario game that maybe that the main team is making, that maybe it comes out later. Maybe the Pokemon Gen X, Gen 10, whatever you want to call it, that's when that comes out for that. Like there is a lot of stuff that can be lined up where they can have a pretty. I mean, you look at the Switch when it came out. They had, like I said, they had Breath of the Wild. In April, they had Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. They had ARMS in June. They had Splatoon 2 in May or in July. They had Octopath Traveler. They had there's a couple of games I'm forgetting, I know, but they had like Mario Odyssey was in there. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle was in there. Like they just, I mean, they gave you like almost basically a game a month for that first, you know, that first 9 months out going up to the holidays. That they were like, they were just on a solid path. And we had a couple lean years in the middle there, obviously, because they had to kind of reset the table and then COVID, obviously. But and look at a lot of those same developers. They haven't put out a lot since then. I don't think we're having anything in Splatoon. No. I don't think Splatoon 3 is like, Splatoon 4 is going to be ready. But there are enough major studios, and they have enough side studios that can do something for them. So I feel like they have, like, strategically maybe set themselves up to have a pretty decent launch window. Because I think that's – I'd rather have, you know, like, 7 or 8 good quality games I'm going to be playing. Not all of them going to be, like, Game of the Year contenders, but, like, just good games I'm going to be buying for this thing over the next, you know, year or so than, like, 3 pretty, like, pretty awesome games at launch. And then, you know, look at that. Everybody talked about the PS4, Xbox One generation, where it's like, all right, cool. Here's like Killzone, and here's Dead Rising 3. And then like 6 months later, here's Titanfall, and here's Infamous Second Son.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was a slog during those early systems because it really was not planned out well for the first 6 months.
First like year. It took like a long, like that 2014 was a bad year. It was one of the worst years in gaming we had for a long time. But
It wasn't until like around 2015 or so. Like no,
2016 was like the first. Like 2015 was a good year. It was a fine year. It was a lot better than 2014, but it was better, a lot better than 14. But 16 was like everything hit. So for a lot of, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I think overall, like I feel like we probably both believe that this is true, and it sounds like this is the case. And there's been rumors for a while now. Mercury Steam has had a Switch 2 dev kit in house for a while now. Lose case, but I mean, Gables, I think you and I both kind of called this after that last direct we had in June, where it's like, that was pretty much like, okay, yeah, this is it. This is the last year. I have to be like.
And that's because it was front and center. Mm-hmm. This is the exact same thing they've done when they've They're starting to unwind with the system that they've released previously. Lots of remakes, lots have gone through like in
smaller,
smaller games or something. Like, granted, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, that's the last major big first party hurrah and stuff. We got Pikmin 4 just recently over the past month, but at the same time, look at the other things past here. Super Mario RPG remake. We got Super Mario Wonder that's not even being supposedly made by the like legitimate like
the main team
of that stuff, but we're getting the younger crew in that regards, that obviously Miyamoto is probably overlooked and seeing a whole bunch of what they're doing, and they're finally getting their real shot at this.
He's still in Mario World. He hasn't left Universal Studios in months.
But what I'm saying is like, both you and I did go through and talk about this when that last major direct was going, to where the pattern is there. There are lots of interesting things still to be played on the Switch, but at the same time, we're looking at the winding down of probably one of the Nintendo's, probably the most successful system they've ever had.
Home console, yes, it is already the best ever.
Yes.
I think it's like the second best ever console they've ever had, but actually that ties in really well with the Nintendo Q1 2023 report that we had. All this information is from April 1st to June 30th of this year. So just keep all that in mind. So we talked about how well the OLED is selling compared to the other versions, the light and the base model. In that 3 month quarter, the Switch sold 3.91 million units. So pretty good. 2.83 of those were the OLED model. We also got to keep in mind though, that, we have the Zelda Switch come out. And we know from NPD reports that they had a major boost in console sales, basically like late April, early May, because of that. So,
and not only that, but it's been plentiful inside of like
retailers. Yeah, you've been able to buy. Like, it's still up for pre-order. Like, I can still buy one now if I wanted to.
Absolutely, yeah. There's so much in stock of that Zelda Switch that I think Nintendo did a fine job in terms of having that thing supplied and not being so limited to where people are you know, eBay selling them and stuff for twice.
It was funny. I remember, like, for my best friend Justin, when he won one, I pre-ordered one for him and he pre-ordered one, and I was like, oh, like 2 days later, it's like, oh, I guess I'll pre-order one. So it's pretty crazy how that worked out. Like, everybody's freaking out. It's not like, it's unlike the Spider-Man fucking goddamn side plates that sold out within like 20 minutes and places said they're not making any more of. Yeah, I'm not,
dude, that's
not happy about it. Like, they did it in the middle of a work day, and I missed the fucking, not probably wouldn't have got one anyways, but you get, it's one of the most popular goddamn IPs in the world. Just make more. Jesus. Anyways, Switch now is at 129.53 million units sold. I think based on what they're predicting, is they'd probably be at the end of this fiscal year, so March 31st of next year, around 140-ish million sold, give or take a little bit. Right now, though, so they're now, they've been in, but they are the third best-selling console, you know, handheld or home, ever. Only behind the DS at 154 and the PS2 at 159. Giggles, I ask you this every quarter. Do you think it will pass the DS or the PS2? And you've remained pretty, you've leaned closer to it will pass it than it won't. So we're talking about 25 short of the DS and 30 million short of the PS2. How are you feeling right now on that case?
All right.
Say April 1st, we talk about this, you know, a year from now, we're talking about this, or 9 months from now, we talk about this, and it's at 140, about a low 140s. How you feeling at that rate? And we already know, about the Switch 2.
I know, we already know about the Switch 2, and that's going to be a big impact in terms of people's interest inside that device. At this point, I'm thinking that it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting if they even pass the DS numbers at this point.
Yeah.
Because I know they're not going to go for the PS2. I mean, the PS2 was a big juggernaut in of itself, even for like a good solid decade after it ended its initial run in other countries like Brazil and this and that. But I still adamantly think that it will pass the DS's numbers, and I feel like that it will in terms of like some form of a price cut, even though that sounds as crazy as it is. The fact remains is like, we know that Nintendo is putting out a new system, but even if they put out a new system, that's not to say they're going to put any type of price reductions on the older ones in order to have them being a cost alternative. Say, hey, you still want to play these games and stuff like that, you know, like, yeah, sure, you may not be able to afford a Nintendo Switch 2 or whatever the hell it's going to be called, a Super Switch or whatever, but there is a cheaper alternative here. We still have these hundreds of, like, freaking Switch games here that you can go forth and buy and do this and do that. But I still think that even with what they've got going, there's still enough to where if people want to go through and buy a Switch still for the people that still, like, are entering into gaming, or they still haven't invested inside of one for so long, even though there's literally like about a good solid for what, 5 years worth of great game.
I mean, we're on year eight now of Switch.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
But at the same point, there still is a large plethora of games that some are not even available on other systems that you can go forth and enjoy upon. But yeah, my final thing about it is, I think it's going to be interesting to see if they pass the DS numbers. I feel like they will, but it's not going to surpass the PS2.
I mean, I've been staying for a while. I feel like it's going to end in that. I think it'll get to mid to high 40s at best, I think. But I think in the end, because Nintendo, more than anybody, once the new console's out, they're over the last one. It's done to them.
Yeah.
And they'll say they're still supporting it. You know, like they said, they're still supporting the 3DS for like 2 years after the Switch came out, but it,
yeah, and there's still games being put
out
for that
like,
system.
It was
like,
it was just remasters and like dumbed down ports of Wii U games that barely ran on the thing, like Hyrule Warriors and stuff like that. And I feel like that's
what, like, what they're doing right now on
Switch. Yeah. So, and like we got like Mario Maker without the online, which was the point. I think in the end, it will probably end in that 140. I feel like if they get to 150, that would be a success to me. I mean, it's already a success, don't get me wrong, but like, I feel like 150, like, they should be really happy. Like, because I feel like even the DS is a long shot at this point. not impossible, but I feel like I agree with you. I think if they pass the DS, that's incredible, especially because they already they expected sales to be down about 16% on consoles year over year from last year, and as the year goes along, it's only going to get lower and lower from there. So, yeah. So I think, yeah, I think, like, if I was a betting man, I would say it's going to be in that 145 to 148 range when it's said and done. But some other crazy news here, Gables. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, basically in, like, the first 7 weeks of launch, sold 18.51 million units. Already one of the top 10 best-selling games on the Switch. We'll get some more information on that later. Made up about roughly half of first-party games sold in the quarter for Nintendo. They're interesting. This is actually one of the first times that I remember seeing this. Where, like, Nintendo only reports sales numbers of games if they sold over a million units in that quarter. And the only other game to sell over a million in the quarter was Mario Kart 8. Which sold 1.67 million units. Do you want to point out, I point this out every quarter, that counts the game being sold with the console, because it's the pack-in game with the console now. So the numbers inflated a little bit because of that. It's a free pack-in game, but they still count it as a sale. But it does suck is that they had the Kirby Wii game that I can't remember what it's called. The Kirby game that was a Wii game that got ported to the Switch.
Oh yeah.
And Advance Wars, that came out. And Kirby came out at the end of March, and Advance Wars came out at the end of April. That means neither one of those games has sold over a million units. And also, it's the second console. The Switch is the second console ever to sell over a billion games. So, which is pretty actually crazy when you think that the PS2 sold over a billion units. Now in those days, where nowadays there's like, they have like a sales chart I found that shows how many games came out every quarter. There was over 400 games that came out on the Switch last quarter.
Yeah, that's, like that's
the,
not a surprise.
That's like the entire PS2 library. It's probably like 600. But
no. No, it's not even 600. It's at least, for the PS2, if you want to count the every territory or something like that, it's, I kid you not, it's at least over 4,000.
Oh, you're right. It's 4,000. Okay, you're right. No, I'm thinking of the Nintendo, the original Nintendo. That was like 600, I think. But anyways, that's still, like, I mean, there's like 4,000 games that come out a fucking year. So that's pretty incredible that thing sold that many units, in that in that era when, early days of the internet, and there was no digital games did not exist, so now you can just buy games for literally a penny on these consoles nowadays. But anyways, we have the fresh top 10 selling games for the Switch. Gables, that number 10 here, 16.17 million units. New Super Mario Bros. Deluxe, which is crazy to think that game that sold. It was literally a Wii U launch game, and nobody likes that game. It sold over 16 million units.
People love Mario games.
Yeah. I do want to point out though, Gables. Oh, no, it only came out. It came out the last day of the quarter. Everybody's 1-2 Switch was not talked about at all in any of these things. But
not surprised.
Yeah, I hope they never talk about it again. I saw the game on sale at Walmart. It was $20, by the way. Now, if you're interested. Next up here though, already in the top 10, Gables, number 9. 18.51 million units. Are talking about Tears of the Kingdom.
Wow.
Probably one of the best-selling games. We have MPDs, but we'll talk about next week. Already one of the best-selling games of the year. Probably going to be the best, one of the two or three best-selling games of the year, but could be one of the best. It's going to be, I'm curious where that's going to land at the end. But it's not too far behind Super Mario Party at 19.39 million. Not even the good Mario Party on the Switch. And the other Mario Party, the good one, is like 13 million units sold. So it's pretty incredible. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet already at 22.66 million units sold. And that's, like what, 7 months on the market? Because it came out in November. This is still June 3. Yeah, 7 months. It's
do any major patches?
haven't done a decent. Yeah, it's like, I mean, they're not gonna learn any lessons because, you know what, people still bought it. So that's the power of the IPs. They can fuck us over and we're still gonna buy it. Yeah, so it's already at that, and I think it's already the fourth best selling Pokemon game of all time, all behind Sword and Shield, Gold and Silver, and then Gen 1. So yeah. Pokemon Sword and Shield, like I mentioned, is ahead of it at 25.92, but I won't be shocked if it passes that probably by the end of the year.
Especially with the expansions.
Yeah, that's a good point, the expansions. And eventually they'll probably do like they'll put a deluxe version out that has the expansions in it as well. Also, we have Super Mario Odyssey here. Mario says 1, 2, 3, 4 is number 5 at 26.44 million units sold. We've also seen a big jump in Mario sales, they mentioned, because of the Mario movie. And then also we had there's a big Mario sale going on in April when the movie came out. Like they did like a Mario bundle where you can buy a Switch and then you can pick between like three Mario games. It had like the Mario Joy-Cons. So we've seen that. And then obviously recently, like I talked about, like I bought Mario Odyssey and Mario 3D World for $30 a piece. Like just this is last month, so these numbers don't count here, but they've been doing some major sales on Mario games recently, so that'll get a boost there. But joining the 30 million club at 30.65 million, Breath of the Wild had a nice little bump because of obviously Tears of the Kingdom coming out. So at the end of the year, Gables, do you think Tears of the Kingdom will surpass Breath of the Wild?
In terms of sales? It's
12 million behind right now.
Okay, so we're talking about the end of the year or just in all just in
yeah,
all
December
time.
31st.
No, I don't think it's going to surpass Breath of the Wild.
Okay. Oh, yeah, all time.
Okay, all time. Let's see, all time right here, potentially. And this is not even, like, taken into consideration that maybe there's maybe going to be another expansion or something for Tears of the Kingdom or whatever. That's a tough one, but I kind of feel like that even Lifetime is not going to surpass Breath of the Wild.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, this game's been out. It was a launch game, so makes sense. And it's got a little bit, I mean, it's been trickling slowly up for a while now to get to, like, it's been stuck in that 20 million range for a long time now, so.
Although I will say that if Nintendo does, like, another version of that damn game, Tears of the Kingdom, for their new system, that could be different.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, too, this, you know, Breath of the Wild was a Wii U game, and this does not include Wii U sales. I think the Wii U was,
that's
like,
true.
It was less than 2 million, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, you probably combined, it was probably about 32 million overall sold for Breath of the Wild, but, yeah. I think it might. Not maybe not this year, but I wouldn't be shocked a year from now if it's close, if not passes it. That wouldn't shock me.
If it was, that's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, but
see.
I think Breath of the Wild is now the best-selling, or it has been the best-selling Zelda game ever. I can't remember what the Twilight Princess sold. I know I think it had the previous record. Next up here, the top three, Gables. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at 31.77 million units sold. And then It's just a giant leap from there at 42.79 million units sold. Animal Crossing New Horizons. Animal Crossing, though, is not it's not selling great. Like, it's not selling great. It's not like we're not going to be seeing gigantic leaps because it's not a packing game. And also, it's been out for 3 years now. But there was that talk for a long time. It was like, can Animal Crossing pass Mario Kart? The gap is getting bigger between the two. And I've talked about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like, it's inflated because it's a packing game now with the Switch. But yeah, so it's like it only sold like 180,000 units last quarter. So I think we're not going to see, it's going to be a slow trickle up. But I don't think it's not going to be a wild number by the time we're done. Then last but not least here, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at 55.46 million units sold. So like I said, it sold 1.67 million units last quarter, but a lot of those were packing stuff. So pretty crazy overall top 10. I do want to look at Wii U here. Gables, I have the Wii U top 10 selling best selling games of all time.
Alright, let's hear it.
We'll go through them real fast here. Breath of the Wild is not in this. Number 10.
Oh.
Mario Party 10 at 2.227 million.
Okay.
Wind Waker at 2.37 million. New Super Luigi U of all things.
Okay.
3.07 million units.
Okay, so DLC to their Mario Brothers U. Okay.
What's crazy is Mario Brothers. Oh, no, it is on there. Oh, never mind. Oh, I'll talk about it later. Next up here, Mario Maker, 4 million units.
Okay.
Splatoon, 4.95 million units sold. Jeez. This one's bullshit. I don't like this being here. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Nintendo Land at 5.21. That
makes sense. Launch
that does
game.
Not count. That's a launch game. Those sales don't count. That should be disqualified. That's what people say, like, oh, well, Wii Sports sold 120 million units. Like, no, it did not. It just came. It was for a free game. It's like, I'm not going to sit there and say, fucking, what's the free game because of the PS5 that we all love?
Oh, yeah, Astro.
Astro Boy? Astrobot. Yeah, whatever. Like,
not Astrobot. Like, it was, oh, God, it's some Astrobot.
Yeah, anyways, no one's saying Astrobot sold over 40 million units now. It did not. It's just a free game that's on the goddamn console. Anyways, I don't know why that shit bothers me. It's just stupid, but it does bother me. Number four here, Smash Brothers for Wii U. One of the worst names ever. 5.38 million units. New Super Mario Brothers U, 5.8 million units. Super Mario 3D World, 5.89 million units. And Mario Kart 8, 8.46 million units. So, pretty incredible. Oh, we got all of them here, Gabe. I got 3DS. I got Wii. I got DS. Oh, this is just pissing me off here. I'm looking at the Wii one here. I'm sorry. It's so funny. I gotta go through these ones too. I'm sorry, people. It's so funny.
Okay.
The games that are on here. At number 10, Wii Party, 9.35. Number 9, at 12.8 million units sold, Mario Galaxy. Super Smash Bros. Ball, 13.3 million units sold. 21.13, Wii Fit Plus. 22.67, Wii Fit. 28.02, Wii Play. 30.32, Super Mario Bros. Wii. 33.14, Wii Sports Resort. Everybody bought that because it came with the extension thing. 37.38, Mario Kart Wii. And number one, Gables, you're never going to guess it.
Well,
Wii Sports 82.9. Just pissed me off.
That is just funny, but it's also quite accurate because how much Nintendo just got into the ground the fucking Wii gimmick around all these games.
Man, I'm not going through it. We got to move on, but I got the 3DS. I never looked at these. Like, they're here every quarter, and I just never look at them. And now I look at them, and oh my God, this is okay. We got to move on. All right, anyways, we got other news this week. Let's move on here. It's a pretty, we got some pretty cool news here, Gables. So apparently Hasbro wants those Transformer games to come to Game Pass. Activision was the publisher of those. What was those games called? I totally spaced the name of those. I had them remembered. We talked about them the other day.
The good
Transformer games.
All right, we're talking about War for Cybertron and
Fall of Cybertron and Rise of the Darkspark. Yeah, and War of Cybertron. Yep. Yeah, you're right.
War for Cybertron, from what I remember from when I was playing it on the PS3, that's a pretty damn fun game.
Yeah, so Hasbro has openly said that they want those games on Game Pass. So just want to point that out there for you guys. Go ahead.
Oh, you're about to say
No, I'm always moving on, but go ahead.
Well, apparently, from what I understand, is like, yeah, Hasbro's been asking for Microsoft Activision, just get it in onto Game Pass. But apparently, there's troubles finding the files.
No, so that
on.
Was debunked. Obviously, take it with a grain of salt because this is, this is the publisher telling you this. But apparently, that's not an issue. That was like Hasbro saying, hopefully they have it. Like they said, like someone said, like offhandedly, like hopefully they have it on a hard drive somewhere. But Activision is saying they have the game, which it'd be incredible if they don't have the game, because that game was made like 12 years ago. This isn't like a game that was made in like the 90s or something. Like this is a game that was like, we can easily get you a ROM for this thing. You know, like it's out there. People can make it for you, put it out for you. But,
I'd be a fan of playing those two games.
I played
again.
The first one. It was actually pretty. I didn't beat the game, but it was actually like, oh, this is actually. And people, I was like, when people were telling me it's good, I'm like, no, it's not. I played Transformers the movie of the game. There's no way they made a good one, and they actually did it. So,
I would say one of the best Transformers game is Transformers Devastation, but
Yeah,
still.
that was the Platinum game one, wasn't it? That game.
Yep, and I have my physical FOB copy with
That
me
game
right
was
now.
actually like, it was a B tier Platinum game, but it was very fun. So,
It's
yeah,
fun,
I think
dude.
I actually own.
Very reminiscent. Very reminiscent.
I think I own that digitally on PS4, actually. I think it was like $10 I bought it for. Next up here though, Oblivion apparently is getting a remake from the same studio that is making the Metal Gear Solid remake, Metal Gear Solid 3 Virtuous. There was a former employee that went on the game's leaks Reddit page and like started talking about all this information. He mentioned that there is a they're working on a project called Alter, which they say is either a remake or a remaster of Oblivion, which they're using for a pairing system that will run the game on Unreal Engine 5, and also in the Oblivion engine. We'll see how that goes. And also, they are pre in that project. They said it will be released either at the end of next year or early 2025. And then also, they mentioned that they are working on their own game that's is a their co code name Massive, which is described as a Monster Hunter cross Shadow of the Colossus game. And apparently, they're also working on an MMO, the New World MMO that Amazon made. They're working on something for them as well. This what so. Obviously, coming from that Reddit page, take all the, everything you're hearing from this as a massive grain of salt. But I will give, I usually avoid it for the most part because it's mostly bullshit. But the people that like are in charge of running that Reddit page do a really good job of like verifying information. At least like, so this person's saying they were a former employee. They did verify that this person did work there at one point. So they verified that person worked there. But they're not verifying the leaks. But just wanted to point that out. So, but it makes sense. You know, it's like, think about it. Like Skyrim came out 11, 11, 11, I think is what it was. And we're not going to see the next, fuck, what's it? What's the game's called? Elder Scrolls, until like 2026, 2027, 2028. Like, Gail, think of
Right.
this. By the time the next Elder Scrolls games came out, you were a kid that was born the day Skyrim came out, you were not old enough to have a driver's license. One of the best selling games of all time, you will not get a sequel for that game for like 15, 16 years. So it makes sense that like Microsoft is looking over there and Xbox is looking over there. Phil Spencer's like we just bought all these like great IPs and like everybody's fucking crazy busy like making multiple games. Hire some studios to put, a good remasters or remakes out there of these great games that we have. And you know what? People, Skyrim is on you could play Skyrim on the goddamn fucking, I don't want to say it, Alexa. I don't want, fuck, you heard me. Shut up, Alexa. Shut up. But you could play the goddamn things on your fucking, your listening devices. Literally, I mean, it's on Switch, it's on everything. So it makes sense that like to put out like just a high quality remake or just like a really good well done remaster of these old
Yes.
games, and just like I wouldn't be shocked if Morrowind gets something or like some older like I don't know what's name a game other games for the 360 that like Bethesda put out that could be used a touch like Fallout 3 might get a remake, kind of shit like that. So makes sense to fill in those gaps while we wait for these next big games.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility for that case in point. I mean, it makes sense for Oblivion and stuff like that, because if you want to fill up that gap between the next major release after Starfield, which is going to be Elder Scrolls 6, it's going to be having something to do to fill the interest of people. So it's definitely in the line of possibility that maybe they want to do more remakes or some or more like remasters of classic games. Morrowind, I've heard about rumors of that potentially being like in that
Yeah.
realm, and now Oblivion this past week. So it's just going to be interesting to see what initially gets revealed over the past next couple months.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if that's gonna be real here soon, but I won't be shocked if like maybe next E3 or Summer Game Fest, whatever you want to call it, maybe it gets revealed there
Yeah.
if it's they're planning on releasing it into next year, early 2025. Also, some other news here: Gamescom Opening Night Live, which is Jeff Keighley's thing. It will be on August 22nd, so in a couple weeks. So that's the day before like Gamescom starts.
Yes.
So that's usually like the weakest of the three for him. It's usually just like smaller games and like just more updates on stuff that was previously announced at the last events. But I think overall it'll still be a good time. And we know Xbox is planning on doing their biggest showcase ever there. Like they're like Stalker 2 is gonna be playable there. They like announced like a huge list of games that will be playable there. So I would be shocked if we get some decent. I don't think we're gonna get like huge stuff from them, but I think we'll get a lot of updates on stuff that we know about or stuff like that. So I'm not expecting like a release date for Hellblade 2 or something, but I think if like you're a fan hoping for a Stalker 2 release date or replace, maybe good chance it might be there. Next up here. Modern Warfare 3 will be revealed for people on August 17th, if you care. And there's a lot of people out there that care about that game. That game, they will be revealed in Warzone. So kind of a cool little idea to do that. You know, it's smart to like cross promote this other big thing you're making. But yeah, I don't know. I just want to point that out for people. If you care, it is out there. Gables, I found this link to this Capcom website that has the top 10 best-selling games of all time from Capcom.
Okay.
Would you like to know them?
Sure. Let's do it.
Number 10, at 7.3 million units sold, Street Fighter V. Number 9, at 7.6 million units sold, Resident Evil 3 Remake. Pretty incredible there.
Okay.
And number 8, 8.3 million units sold, Resident Evil Village. Number 7, at 8.8 million, Resident Evil 6. Also tied there at 8.8 million, Resident Evil 5. At number 5, at 10.5 million units sold, Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, that was a huge release, and it was Capcom's number one seller for a long while.
I take that back. Monster Hunter World Iceborne, the DLC, the expansion, is number 5.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
The expansion is number 5.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Next up here, at 12.4 million, Resident Evil 7. At number 3 here, Resident Evil 2 with 12.6 million.
Oh, the original?
No, the remake. I'm sorry. The remake.
Okay.
So it's the best-selling Resident Evil game of all time. And the top two are from the same franchise. Number 2. This one shocked me. At 13.2 million units sold, Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh, my God. So Monster Hunter Rise, the game that initially debuted on the Switch, but later went to other consoles on the PC.
And we talked about, like, they were, like, divvying it up over, like, they were, like, came to Switch, and then, like, 6 months later came to PC, and, like, 6 months later came to the Xbox and PlayStation. So,
yes.
Yeah, and then also, at 19 million units sold, Monster Hunter World.
That's crazy incredible. But at the same time, we already knew initially that Monster Hunter World was one of the best-selling games in Capcom's history. But man, it's interesting to see that top 10 is mostly consistent on games that have released, like, in the past, like, well, all the exception of, like, well, Resident Evil 5 and 6 and stuff like that, you know, within the, at least the most recent past here, like, at least around the 5 to 7 year mark.
And I mean, you know, it sounds like that. I mean, there's been a lot of rumors of they have a major game they're going to release early next year. I think everybody's assuming that's Monster Hunter World 2. So makes sense.
Yeah, that only makes sense.
Gables, I also want to point out, Gables, I have the top 114 best-selling games of all time from Capcom.
God.
If you, Gables, name a Capcom game that you want to know the sales numbers to. Anyone. Any generation.
Okay. How about Street Fighter II, The World Warrior?
Oh, it's good. Okay, sorry. I got to do the stupid I thing. All right. So I have Street Fighter II, Street Fighter Turbo. What was it called?
The World Warrior. That's the original Street Fighter
II.
It's
not in here. We have other. I have Turbo and I have the base Street Fighter II. So that does not crack the top 100.
Okay, the base Street Fighter II is what
Is that what it's called? I'm sorry. Okay, well, it doesn't have that part.
Yes.
So it is number 12 at 6.3 million units.
Okay. Okay. Now let me see. Let me think of one more.
Give me some Capcom random game. Let's get crazy. Look at us. Resident Evil Zero HD Remaster. 3.8 million units.
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking of something outside the box here. Let's go with DuckTales.
I don't know if that's going to be on here. Well, I have the remaster.
Okay.
It is at is number 72 at 1.6 million units sold.
Oh, okay. Sold over a million. Cool.
Dino Crisis 2, 1.2 million units.
Okay.
Devil
okay.
May Cry 3, 1.3 million units.
Damn. Okay. I understand that one. Oh, you found some gold, didn't you?
It's so funny. Some of the shit on here, it's so funny. It's so Dead Rising 2, Off the Record, the prequel DLC at 1.4 million. I don't know why.
Wow.
Lost Planet, Gables. Remember Lost Planet? I do. Yeah. But nobody else does. 1.7 million units sold. This is... oh, my God. Omimusha Warlords, 2.02 million units. This is gold. Oh, my God. I love this so much.
Dude, how many games that sold over a million for Capcom? That
Resident Evil remember? 6, the ones that came to the PS4 and Xbox One, 2.3 million units. On top of all the other ones that sold, and the other people, 2.3 million more people bought it on the new consoles.
Yep, because of how terrible some of those games were.
Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, 2.8 million hits.
I wonder how like Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Oh,
I think I saw it. Super Ghouls. Here it is. Now, 109th, 1.09 million. Oh, Mega Man 3, 1.08.
Oh, how about Mega Man 2? That's supposed to be the best in the series of the original games.
1.151.
Okay, 1.151.
Anyway, this is incredible. I'll send you the link, Gables. You can have fun for days with this thing. We got to move on.
Dude, that was fun.
Moving on here. We got an update on Killer Instinct, Gables. The good news. Did you not hear about this? So they announced.
I haven't heard about.
They announced at Evo that Iron Galaxy is back, and together, this is a tweet from the Killer Instinct Twitter page. We're bringing you Killer Instinct's free 10th anniversary update later this year, including a balance update, improved matchmaking, and 4K support on the Series S and X.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Interesting. At least they're going through and doing that initial. Well, at least they're doing something for the 10-year anniversary of KI for the fucking Xbox One and all that other stuff. But honestly, I didn't hear in regards to about this, but I think it was kind of hilarious, though, just listening into Maximilian Dude and stuff on, like, his Twitch streams, like the, well, his Evo coverage or something like that. I think I just missed that announcement in general, though. But what's hilarious is on, like, the podcast that he does with Matt McMuscles and Justin Wong, dude, it's like... I think it was Matt McMuscles that literally asked him, it's like, yeah, wouldn't it be crazy, like, it's something along the lines, it wouldn't be crazy if, like, Iron Galaxy came back and blah, 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 and then Max's response is like, yes, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
So, obviously, he knew something there.
Dude, Max worked closely with that team and stuff, with that consultant and stuff in that game.
But last but not least here, we talked about last week. If you want like a deep dive on what we think will be there, you can go back and look at that one. But Pokemon Presents will indeed happen on August 8th, and it will actually be 35 minutes. So we kind of did a deep dive on what we think will be there. It's a lot longer, I think, than we probably thought it would be, because that's one of the longest ones I think they've ever done. But I think it's going to be a lot of updates on their like free-to-play shit. We'll hear about...
But still, 30 minutes is quite a long...
Oh, they got some DLC to sell. So... and in the little, like, there's like a 6-second video thing they put out of like the logo of like the Pokemon Presents thing and like the M like glitches, and it turns to two M's. And apparently there's been some data mining, and apparently they're going to do a terror raid event. It looks like for Mew versus Mewtwo. So people are thinking that that's what's going to be announced there, because the M glitches and there's two M's. So two M's. So Mew. too.
It's fascinating. They're going to try to do a raid event instead of. Is it like Scarlet and
Yeah,
Violet or
Scarlet and
something?
Violet.
Or
Yeah,
is
well,
this.
that's all they do. They still do a bunch of raid events. They just run like shit. That's all they ever do for the thing. So.
Yeah. Well, honestly, the last thing I'll say about the Pokemon Presents stuff, it's 6 a.m. on a freaking.
Tuesday.
For my time at the Tuesday and stuff. So it's going to be interesting waking up to this coming Tuesday morning and stuff and seeing what goes on. I mean, I like we've already went through and say what possibly is going to be there in that regards, but at the same time though, it's like this alongside of not only the date being announced, not the date, but like actually being like
Confirmed.
yeah, the date actually confirmed and stuff through data mining of like Pokemon X Masters and stuff. And then he reading through a lot of one of the insider leakers like Riddler-koo, the Chinese Riddler and stuff like that, going through with his takes and stuff, where he says there's going to be quite possibly a Pokemon that's purple that's going to have like possibly a regional fake that's edible, which kind of crazy to me to think about. But there's that. Also, there's other teases by Riddler-koo that could potentially be that this is where they could announce. Like the new Pokemon Legends game. I
That'd make me
mean,
very happy. I'm just trying to keep my expectations in check. Typically,
yeah,
when
that's
they
the
announce
thing.
these things, they're usually out within like the next like 9 months or so. So that would mean that.
I think that'd be kind of cool though. If this happens to be like what I'm thinking of, it has something to do with like the Unova region, Generation 5 and stuff, you know, Black and White, White 2, Black 2 and stuff like that. That this could potentially, if this is announced, could be a part of that next system that Nintendo possibly could be
Or
releasing.
it could
Who
just be like a
knows?
game that's like early next year. It's like a, just put on the new,
But like
so.
I stated last week and stuff, I really have low expectations going into it. It is interesting to see that it is 30 minutes long, but at the same time, I'm fairly fascinated to see more of the DLC content. Yeah,
Yeah.
for the expansion stuff for Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm curious to see what I'm gonna try to be cautiously optimistic here, but yeah. Also trying to keep expectations in check, but let's move on to what we've been playing. Gables, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Let's have you go
All right.
first.
So I've been playing a couple games this week, a couple smaller games. I took a couple weeks off from like really going crazy gaming. I talk about like it's been like 4 straight months of like big huge games for me to play. I talk about like going from like Wolong to Advance Wars to Horizon DLC to Star Wars to Zelda to fucking Final Fantasy 16, AW5 for like I beat like 9 or 10 games in the last like 4 months, and like 6 or 7 of those were like 20 plus hour long games. Most of them were like 30 to 40 to 70 hours. So I took a couple weeks off kind of like from going like crazy on like gaming, just like watch TV or just like catch up and just not like feel like I had to play some games because like I was like so far behind. And then like I quickly like was like 7 games behind. I'm like smaller like indie games I want to play. So I was like, fuck that, add up. And then I have a couple more coming out here soon that I want to play. So I'm like, fuck, I need to get on the ball here and play in some of these. So I did play through a couple this week. I talked about last week. I played the first like 90 minutes or so of Oxenfree 2. I finished it up today. Can't wait. Love that game. Adore that game. I've talked about a lot. Like last week I was talking about like, the first like I'm not I don't want to spoil the first game, but. You're a couple kids on the island, and like a bunch of weird spooky shit starts happening with radio signals and stuff like that. And you kind of learn what's going on this island that you're on, throughout the game. And then the second one, like it's a sequel, like a direct sequel to that, but you play as different characters. You play as Riley, and you have another guy with you, Jacob. And your job is like put transmissions down to like get radio signals, and basically shit starts going crazy. But like really, like the, I mean, it's like it's not a walking simulator, but there are puzzles and stuff like that, and you got like there are side missions you can do, but and really the main part of the game is like really the character building, like the conversation you have, you can like pick the things you say to back to people, but like the main crux of the game is like how like is character development, and like the world building, and once again like these are like my type of games typically, and I beat it in about 5 hours, which for this type of game is absolutely perfect. That's why I want this game to be. And I came away loving it. Loved really the story that they told with Riley and Jacob. I love the story that like there's other characters like you have like a walkie-talkie you can talk to other people. And you have like Evelyn, Nick, there's Shelly, and there was one other person. And there's more that I know I missed that I didn't even know about. Like, there's like total like storylines you can completely miss if you don't interact with something certain or you don't go a certain area. Anyways, like, I had a great time just like wandering around this world, like the on this island, and like just exploring it and like learning, and like just the character development between Riley and Jacob, and kind of learning their backstories, and kind of like, you know, like they have baggage, and like learning about what that baggage is, and also what like what happened on this island, what's going on, and then like there's a crazy twist that happens about halfway through it in the storyline, that I thought that was awesome, and I really like the way the game ends. Overall, I absolutely adore this game. I love this game. This is a total me game. And yeah, I really do recommend. The only like main complaint I have is like, I wish there was like a run button of some sort. Like, I don't need to be fucking doing like a running a 40 like I'm a wide receiver, but like if I have like just like I can move faster when I want to, because there was like there were certain side missions, because you get to a point where like it tells you like, hey, this is the point of no return in the game, and I'm like, man, there's like a couple missions that I like side missions that I know what I need to do to finish them, but it's like. It's a truck to get to like where I need to go, and then go back to some location. And like, man, that's like, if I had like a run button, I would totally be in. I would totally do these things. But I'm like, man, this is like a lot of walking for like. And there's like you can have walking at some point, especially you got later in, because I did a lot of some exploring earlier, and like you could tell like they have like conversations set up for you to have. That's not mainline story stuff, but like if you do a lot of exploring, then there's like a, you know, and like you talk to those conversations as you're just exploring the map, there'll be like a lot of dead air of like just you just walking, now no one's talking to each other. So yeah, like I'm like, I really don't want to just like walk in silence for, you know, 20 30 40 minutes here to like finish up these last couple of missions. And I was like, kind of a shame, because like I was interested when the stories went, but I'm like, I need to, you know, at certain points like I gotta move on to some other games here. But I love that game. I really recommend it. I think it's like $20 if you want to get it. But yeah, I highly recommend it. But I will say you should probably finish the first game. You should probably play through, or at least like watch like a, you could watch a story thing. You probably like get the main gist of the story in like a 5 minute long YouTube video. But I think the first game is also fantastic. I recommend you just do that as well. And it's probably cheaper nowadays. Next up here though, I also beat today a game called Venba. It's on Game Pass. It's on everything, but it's on it is free on Game Pass if you already have that. This is a it's like maybe about an hour, 20 minute long game, and it is a game about. I love the art design on this one. It's very like almost like I don't want to say comic booky, but kind of that, like that sketch design, where you play as an Indian family. You play as Venba, who is the wife, and then I'm gonna butcher the names here. Pavilan, I believe, is the name of the husband. And it's kind of like you jump through timelines here of like, it is this Indian couple that moves to Canada to have like a better life. And then like, it starts in like 1988 where they find out they're pregnant, they're gonna have a baby. And like, they have this conversation about like, do we go back to India? Do we like, cause they're struggling in Canada to find jobs because they don't have a lot of skills in all their skills are Indian based. And they were like successful in India. And then like, it's like them deciding to stay in Canada. And it's just like, it's a really well done. It's heart wrenching and a really well done storyline, a story of like, you know, you have this kid, Kevin, I believe it's like Kevin, but with an A instead of an E, and you jump through, like, you go to like 1994, and then you go to like 1998. It's like slowly jumping up to him, like all the way up to being an adult eventually. And it's a storyline of like, you know, him, you pretty much play from the perspective of Venba, the wife, and it's about her, like, you know, like their Indian culture, you know, him growing up in Canada, and like them trying to like, hey, you know, like speak in our language, use our terms, you know, like, you know, here's our food, you know, but like he's like, he grows up in Canada, and like it's this weird thing of like, you know, he's like, he's a little embarrassed about his culture, and also like, you know, he's growing up in a completely different culture than what they grew up in. And also, you know, like kids are fucking assholes and ruthless. And you know, they will make fun of you for, they'll find it. You know, they don't need to give you a reason to make fun of them. They will find a reason. And you know, he talks about like in the game, like, you know, like his mom will make him a lunch, but it's like Indian food. and he's embarrassed to eat it at home, eat it at school in front of people, shit like that. So it's like him growing up trying to be like a normal, like a quote unquote normal kid. His words, not mine. And you know, kind of embarrassed of his descent in certain ways, and like this family, it all kind of ties into like the kind of the gameplay portions of it is like, you cooking these recipes, and like, you know, the Venba, using her mother's recipe, and like, they're like, you kind of got like solve puzzles in a way of like how to make these recipes and like put them in the right order, use the right ingredients, stuff like that. And it's like just a really well done. It is like at points heartbreaking, at points like it's a very, if you are in for like just a really well done story, and it's like I said, it's like an hour, and like, I mean, you could probably beat it in a little over an hour to an hour and 30 minutes. It depends how quickly you can get through some of the cooking parts of the game, but it's like there's no voice acting. It's all like, you know, text stuff, but I adore this game. I beat it, like I started playing it and I beat the game in one sitting. I absolutely adore it. It's on Game Pass, it's on everything. But like, also, if you are I didn't get all the achievements, but if you can easily get all the it's an easy platinum or 1,000 achievement points, you get like 710 just for beating the game, and there's a few like optional ones that you can get, and like you just got like I mix a couple like text along the way, and that was it. Like but you can go back and like chapter select and get those if you want to. But yeah, I absolutely adored that game. Highly recommend that. Like I said, it's less than an hour and a half long, and it's really well done. One of the best stories I think in gaming so far this year. And last but not least, Gables, this is not game related. I watched Twisted Metal.
I've watched like that's about it. Watch the first episode.
Okay, all right, we can talk about it here. Gables, I started watching the first episode on Sunday morning, and I watched the entire show in one sitting.
You watched all 10 episodes? All 10 episodes in one sitting.
Gables, jeez. I'm not saying it's like Breaking Bad, but it's actually pretty good. It's a pretty good show. Like,
from what I've seen so far, it's been fairly entertaining. Yeah,
like is like it's like a popcorn flick of like you can watch it all. Like it's dumb. It's kind of crazy, like how like intense the show can get from like a gore and just like not at all what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting like, you know, like a PG show, but I was not expecting like R rated either. So
it's definitely Twisted Metal.
Yeah, I mean, like for a game that doesn't really have much of a storyline, they did a good job of making a story out of this. It's crazy to me that like, I mean, we all made fun of it, rightfully so, after the game, was the Game Awards. Oh no, it was Summer Game Fest, where they showed the scene in the casino, and I'm like, this sucks. And I will admit, after watching the whole season, that is probably the worst part of the entire show. And I can't believe who thought that was a good idea to show that. But I thought like overall, like I watched the whole thing in one sitting, and it wasn't like, I mean, yeah, like it was, like it's definitely something like you don't need to play like a tense, watch every second of it. Like, but like, I don't know, if you're playing a game and you got it in the background, like this is the perfect show for you. Like, it ends on a cliffhanger, and Gables, I'm excited for season two. I wasn't planning on watching the whole thing. I thought they were dropping one episode at a time. I didn't realize it was a whole season. So then like I watched episode one, I'm like, oh shit, episode two's out? Awesome. And then like, oh shit, episode, then I looked, I'm like, oh fuck, the whole season's here. And I was like, next thing you know, I'm on episode 9. I'm like, well, I gotta finish it now. But yeah, it's a fun time. Like, I think it's like, I mentioned it's like it is like a 65 on Rotten Tomato. And I feel like that's fair, but like, I don't know, like, you know, I always thought about like not every game you play has to be a 9. It's, you can still find like a good time. Wow. Like Venba is like a 8 out of 10, but it's not like it's not gonna be on my game of the year list. I don't know if it's not even gonna be like, if I had to, you know, make a top 20 game of this year, it might be on that. But it's a good game I played, you know, once, and like it's a good time. And like this is what that is. It's like this is junk food type of thing, but it's a good time. I enjoyed the show, and I if you have Peacock. I recommend at least checking out the first like 3 episodes, and if it clicks for you, finish it up, because it's a good show. I like the characters, and it was a good time. But Gables, tell me what you've been playing, buddy.
Okay, so like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I did play some more of Tears of the Kingdom. After the initial stint that I did, like beating the first dungeon, I did go forth and try to go to the next destination, which was trying to go to another area that has all the major points of like the temples and stuff like that. So I decided to go from the coldest area that I did first to like the hottest area. So currently at this moment in time, I've made my trek towards the Gerudo village. And let me tell you something, it was definitely an experience, all right. And I didn't have like a lot of difficulties trying to get there, but I'll tell you this though, I really wasn't adequately prepared in terms of the items because I forgot to take into account the heat resistance. So what I ended up doing is I created a couple of different dishes, even going into that particular desert part just on my way towards there. So I think I made like about two or three different heat resistance type of dishes, used all of them, and I managed to find a tower that was pretty close to the Gerudo village. I scaled that. I went through and unlocked the initial thing, which propelled me upwards and stuff like every tower unlocked that does. And so here I am gliding. I'm looking through a sandstorm, right? Because here's the thing about it. There's a sandstorm that you have to navigate through in order to try to find the Gerudo village. Well, I decided to try to bypass that by going up. So like I said before, that tower was the initial thing I tried to go up and stuff, and it worked for a time though, but I eventually had to go and try to find it manually because when you're inside the middle of that sandstorm, it's not gonna show you like a particular like spot on the map. But when you go up into the air and stuff, like a little bit higher above, you see the initial dust clouds and stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like you see in the distance the village. So I finally get to the village. I find out the things that are happening right over there. I talked with one of the guards and stuff for like the initial their secret little passage or something like that. And there's this, and then when I go forth and talk with her, I go up there and there's this girl or something that's like up here, and I'm trying to find exactly where she's hiding at in terms of the corresponding talks and stuff. I think I've talked to her twice. I don't know where she disappeared to at that point, but I'm just trying to discover my way in terms of trying to advance that initial story stuff because up until now and stuff, I basically sold off like some of my major like valuable resources and stuff in order to get that headband, that pretty much that headdress thing to get that heat resistance. But on top of that, I'm just trying to figure out my way just to get into the next temple. And I know there's some sort of side quests I gotta
Do
do.
you have the Guardian amiibo from the last game?
Oh, the big like mech or something
No,
like that?
not the Guardians. I'm sorry, the champions. Do you have the those amiibo?
No, don't have the Champions
Okay, because I got
amiibo.
lucky because I did the amiibo stuff like every day for a while, and I got like a couple heat resistant items from the Gerudo. I can't remember his name.
Oh, the Gerudo one, you mean like Barbosa?
I got that. So I got kind of lucky because like same thing when I went to the Wind Temple, like I got like a bunch of like I got a couple like headgears and shit like in that I can wear that help me with the cold. So I got lucky there.
Oh,
But you can
okay.
buy in the main town. There's like a suit you can buy that will help you with heat resistance. It's not crazy expensive either.
Oh, inside the village
Yeah, there's
itself?
like a little shop in there. And it sells everything you need in there too, I believe, if I remember correctly. It's been a
Okay.
couple months, but I know it's either in town or it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure actually it's in town. There is a shop in there. I'm pretty sure it's in there. You could buy like a whole like all three things. Or like I just bought like the shirt thing. I can't remember what it was.
The
Yeah, the
tunic.
tunic. Yeah, and I
Okay.
bought that and I was good.
Okay, so yeah, I initially did that. Like I said, I got the headdress and stuff. I still need to try to find the tunic portion of it because that's going to definitely help when I go into the temple without being overheated. But yeah, I'm just doing my best chipping away at this game. I did spend at least a good solid like an hour or two this past week just trying to progress further inside the main story elements inside of like Tears of the Kingdom, having a lot of fun on the way. But other than that, though, I did finish up my playthrough of Mario Party 2 that was on the Switch Online. Got that one finished out of the way. Yeah, it was pretty much one of those kind of like feel good type of playthroughs. Like, oh, okay, this is something familiar. I'm going to tackle this going through and this and that. So I finished up that. But what I was not expecting, though, is I was just like the other night trying to Okay, well, what's another game I can go for and try to play like on the side and stuff while I'm doing like Zelda Tears of the Kingdom? And fired up the N64 app, and I just thought, oh, you know what? I haven't given Sin and Punishment a try. I mean, that game is something that that game is something kind of funny to me because I know that never released stateside until like the Virtual Console on the Wii, and I've played that game off and on. It was brutally hard in regards to even back then because. Even at the Wii extent, you didn't have like save, not save points, but you didn't really have any type of states, like load states, save states, and stuff like that. So I decided to play through Sin and Punishment. And I can admit, though, the controls for the game, how they have it arranged, is interesting to where you can move your character with like the with the D-pad and stuff like that, but both joysticks actually move like the camera. Portion when you're doing this on-rail shooter. So yeah, for Sin and Punishment, it's a full-on like Japanese like style game, right? But there's English voice acting, there's actually English text, and on top of that, it's like the game in and of itself is very action-paced. It's supposed to be like this online it's this on-rail shooter and stuff from Treasure. Treasure's made some fantastic games in the past, obviously, like from Gunstar Heroes and stuff to like Alien Soldier, and then for here for Sin and Punishment, I think they did a fairly fantastic job with this one because the game in and of itself lasts anywhere between an hour or two. I want to say an hour and a half to like 2 hours max. I played it through entirely on easy, and there's a good reason why, because even my playthrough on easy, this game sometimes can be hard to keep track of when you're just beginning going through this game. But man, a lot of things happen inside this game in terms of like Sandy type of story things and stuff. A lot of which I didn't understand. A lot of which were like, oh, Jesus Christ. And it's like, what's going on now? It's like, oh, now I'm. Here's a good example. I start out the game, right? I'm going through. There's like three of us. We're doing this. And like, we're shooting all these random, like, robots and all this other shit. Just going through. Then we get up to the first major boss battle and stuff. I defeat the boss. And all of a sudden, like, we go from that transition to the next scene and stuff. And there's. This is basically an entire run of this game, right? Without any type of major. Cutscenes, like there's seamless like transitions between like say Act One or Act Two or like Act Two to Act Three. There's some cutscenes mixed in, but it's not enough to really like distract away from the action itself. It's not like artificially padding the game just to make it longer. But the action is rather fantastic for it because you can move your character easily, and you can actually kind of like use the control style similar to what you could use on modern games. The jump buttons, like on the shoulder buttons, like so the L or the R button, you can actually do a double jump. So the control style kind of incorporates whether you're if you're left or right-handed in terms of
Oh,
like controlling the
cool.
game. But yeah, you know what? It's like I could piece together somewhat of what the story was trying to portray or something like that. But the best part about this entire game is just how fast-paced the action is and how addicting the game can be. But, oh my gosh, there are times where I was controlling a giant mech that Saki end up like the main character of the game end up transforming into. And then like you had like boss battles based upon that. Then there's literally a boss battle. Now get this. There's literally a boss battle to where this dude that you fought inside this tower, like literally jumps out the window, lands on top of a jet, and he's like flying like with like a freaking squadron of jets, like five, like there's five jets in all, right? He's in the center one. He's flying around. He's keeping like on top of the damn thing. He's supposed to be some sort of like weird mutated creature or something that's like different than like other beings and stuff. And it was just kind of hilarious that this entire next sequence after that boss battle is just basically you just doing aerial type of maneuvers like all while on a jet. So the orientation of what you're doing and stuff is like that of the plane's perspective, right? To where you're turning and then all of a sudden the background starts turning with you and you're just taking out all these other jets and all this other stuff. But what I'm saying is it's definitely in the realm of like kind of jarring for some extent, but it's rather awesome in terms of like the action set pieces presented in each act that kind of create itself to this kind of immersive sort of action experience that what Treasure that developer is known for previous games that they've made. But yeah, it's actually one of the more fun N64 games I've played in a long while. And quite honestly, I'm kind of surprised I didn't play through this game like years ago. But then again, like I stated before, It can be brutally difficult, even on easy. I mean, I've died plenty of times playing this game, and I had to reload certain save states in order to try to finish it. But I really can't say the game was boring or anything like that. I mean, it was fairly good. It was like a couple hours long. But yeah, other than that, that's pretty much what I've been playing for this
Nice.
week.
Very cool, Gables. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for us this week. Gables, I'm interested when you get the Tears of the Kingdom when you do that temple, because that's one of the most controversial temples in the game. So I'm excited to hear from you when you talk about that one.
Okay.
But anyways, that'll wrap it up for us this week. If you like all that, please, like I said at the top of the show, look down in the description down below. There's links to everything, but look at us up wherever pods are cast. We're on there. Search for us, Drunk Testers Podcast. On YouTube, like, follow, subscribe, same thing, Drunk Dash Nerds, Drunk Nerds Podcast, whatever. You'll find us there. Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, all those things, we're there. So just look for us, you'll find us. Leave us reviews, thumbs ups, shares with your friends, all that. Really appreciate if you did that for us. But I was your host, I was Tyler.
And I've been Colonel Gables. So until next time, everyone, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds
Hey,
Podcast.
Gables. I hope Pee-wee found his bike.
I sure hope so too.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Do 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 do.